Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and some of you may be interested in a TV show I'll be hosting tonight. We'll look at some web video being used in the campaign for control of Congress and talk with Republican Attorney General nominee Jeanine Pirro. That's 7:30 tonight on CUNY TV, Channel 75 on most cable systems in the five boroughs of New York. Looking around your home or office, you likely own a product made by Dell, Hewlett-Packard, or Apple Computers. If you've been following the business news this week, you may have heard that two out of the three have been battling their own scandals and financial troubles of late. Both HP and Dell are under investigation now. Apple, on the other hand, is in the news for a more upbeat unveiling. So we are joined today by Eric Hesseldahl. He's technology writer and columnist with BusinessWeek.com to walk us through this recent news and to find out what, if any, impact this may have on the products that you have come to depend on and maybe even love or be addicted to. We'll also take your calls. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Brian.
Let's start with Hewlett-Packard. This has been a long story which started with a press leak in 2005 and is now resulting in CEO Mark Hurd succeeding Chairman Patricia Dunn, who I guess resigned over all this. Give us the basics.
Basically, there was a leak, as you said, and the board of directors decided that they were going to find out who on the board the leaks came from on the board, and the board was going to launch its own internal investigation to, one, try to stop the leaks, and, two, discover who was leaking. Typically, when you're a director of a major company like this, you're covered by confidentiality agreements, and so the board had a fiduciary responsibility to plug the leak and figure out who was leaking and take appropriate action. Where it begins to get controversial is what apparently took place in the course of that investigation. There was an outside private investigator firm that was hired who would have then apparently, in the scenario as I understand it, hired yet another outside entity, perhaps individuals, perhaps a firm, we're not sure yet, to use some ethically questionable methods in order to try to determine
which brings us to our vocabulary word for the day, which is pretexting.
Mm-hmm. Pretexting. Pretexting is a investigatory method by which, let's say, I want to get your phone records. You're not going to give them to me, and so I need to figure out another way to get them. With a little bit of personal information about you, which I could possibly get through other methods, say the last four digits of your social security number, I can then contact the phone company. In this case, I believe it was done online using the identifying numbers, the last four digits of your social, and basically impersonate you so that I can say, oh, I need to see my billing records. And voila, we have Brian Lehrer's phone billing records.
Hey, watch it. So the HP case is probably the first time that a lot of people have heard this word, pretexting. Do you think it's just the most high-profile example now of a fairly common practice?
I believe it is a fairly common practice. I know that one of the committees in the House of Representatives held some hearings on the matter over the summer. I know that several people who are thought to or said to have engaged in pretexting were called and subpoenaed for those hearings, and a number of them pled the fifth. And declined to testify. It really exists in a legal gray area. However, the Attorney General in California certainly believes and has said for the record that he believes that crimes have been committed. There's interest from the federal side as well. So it looks like there's going to be some criminal investigations.
And yet, since all this started, HP stock is up about 1.5% and reached a five-year high.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fool's gold?
No, I don't think so. I think investors understand that this is a politically charged matter that affects the board. I believe that the actions that the board has taken are generally calculated to try to put everything behind it. And you know, the political infighting that takes place on the board of directors is really the political infighting that takes place on the board of directors, and it really isn't material to the operation of the company, which has been more or less terrific in the last year or so.
We can take your phone calls on HP, Dell, or Apple at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. For Eric Hesseldahl, technology writer and columnist with businessweek.com, let's move over to Dell Computers. It's also under a major investigation, isn't it?
This situation is a little less clear. We know that there are some bookkeeping irregularities that, if I'm not mistaken, go back to Dell's fiscal year 2002, which would coincide with the calendar year 2001. We don't know precisely what the nature of the problem is. Dell hasn't said. The SEC initially launched an informal inquiry. Dell says it's cooperating fully. That widened somewhat this week when the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York requested some documents. It's primarily bookkeeping matters. There's an issue with apparently how Dell recognizes revenue, which is a matter of when you say, you know, certain money is accounted for on your books.
But wait a minute. I have a red flag going up here, because that may sound on the one hand like, you know, some dry matter for some green shade somewhere. But on the other hand, that sounds like an accounting scandal.
It could very well be. And the fact is, we don't know. We don't know enough of the facts. Very little of it has actually been disclosed for public record. So even people who are experts in watching what Dell does and how they run their business are kind of at a loss to figure out what it is. The second question is, well, will it be material? In one scenario, this gets resolved by Dell coming forth and saying, well, we messed up when we reported our earnings for, say, fiscal year 2003. Not that that's what they're going to do, but that's one scenario. And that's called a restatement. And for the restatement to be material, for the changes that they would have to go back and make in their books to be material, Dell is an awfully large company. It would have to be an awfully large accounting error. So we don't know the scope. We don't know the nature. But, you know, this is the sort of thing that a lot of companies are getting caught up in this
year. And Dell, maybe unlike HP, has been having a hard time of it lately anyway for some other reasons, starting, for one thing, with last month's battery recall, mm-hmm. which also affects other companies. But Dell's business model has been struggling. You know, they've slashed costs on laptops so much, and it's not clear whether that's working out for them. Between the financial reporting questions mm-hmm. and their profitability anyway, and this recall, should I be secure that my 4-year Dell computer service plan is going to be honored?
I couldn't speak for Dell on that matter, but I could say that Dell has definitely been struggling with its business model. The reason that it succeeded so much was because it squeezed cost, and the way it squeezed costs was to squeeze its suppliers for the very best deal that it could possibly get. Computers are essentially a commodity. If you take a handful, you know, of computers from different manufacturers and looked inside what was in them, they really aren't all that different, except for the brand name that's on them and a few, you know, cosmetic changes, and that's been the trend in the industry for a certain number of years. Well, the other differentiating factor has often been price. The more you reduce price, well, over time, that's going to eat into your profit margins, and that's one of the things that Dell has been struggling with. And so it has been paying a great deal of attention in the last year to promoting its new higher profit margin machines. They have a brand they call XPS, which is aimed at gamers and high-end users, where the prices are higher and therefore the profit margins are higher. That's one of the trends that you can watch at Dell. Another company that that Dell has acquired recently is Alienware, which is a small boutique maker of computers, again aimed at gamers, and so Dell went and acquired that company, and it's operating more or less independently within Dell, but Dell is clearly trying to find new ways to sell machines at a more profitable margin. It's also struggling with its customer service problems. I mean, Dell has, for one reason or another, gotten a bad reputation for addressing customer service concerns, and so they're trying to fix that.
There's pressure, I gather, on CEO Kevin Rollins. Any chance that Michael Dell himself might step in to lead the company again?
Oh, there is chatter about that. I don't know that we're quite to the point yet of jettisoning Kevin Rollins. To be fair to Dell, and Michael Dell, the chairman and founder, is still actively involved, and I think he yesterday took a little bit of responsibility for the way things have gone as well between the two of them. But I think they're committed to fixing it. Dell's the biggest computer company in the world, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. So, but companies that are successful very often go through these wrenching changes when the market changes.
We're talking about all this news surrounding the big three computer makers, the companies that have probably placed most of the computer equipment that you own in your home in some combination or another, Dell, HP, and Apple, with my guest from businessweek.com. And Eric, let's talk about Apple. They also had a hard year suffering battery recalls and labor practice and stock option scandals. But what people are talking about today is the unveiling of something called ITV. What is it?
ITV is a set-top box. And what it will do is something that other computer companies have certainly tried to do in the past. Microsoft and HP and Dell have all tried to do this. They have tried to take this burgeoning digital media culture where you can, say, watch TV on your computer. You can record such things as, say, even the Brian Lehrer Show on your computer, and TV content, movies, music, and all these things, and bridging the gap between what's stored on your computer and getting it into your living room where it looks better, where it sounds better, and where you're more likely to, have a comfortable spot to sit and enjoy it. And it's been a very difficult quest. We've seen Microsoft, for instance, bring out Media Center PC, which, so to answer your question, Apple is trying to bridge this same gap that a lot of the computer companies have tried to bridge themselves.
Right. We've been hearing forever that, eventually the computer is going to mate with the TV. And you can see how to do it. I could probably hook it up at home already in some respects.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And yet it's not seamless in a way that people use them together, in any common way yet. So
yes.
So Apple is trying to leap that chasm?
Yes. And they actually have a pretty good history of doing this. You'll remember that digital music was really a very niche product back in 1998 and 1999, and only a handful of companies bothered to make MP3 players, and they were rather controversial,
right.
And Apple jumped in with the iPod in 2001.
But, all you have to do is patch a video iPod to the right jack of your TV set, and you're there with some kind of meaningful interaction. So how new would this be?
Well, the idea is to boost the quality of the picture that's available from the movie. It was announced on the same day that Apple announced a movie download service that is essentially an enhancement of its iTunes music download store, which is for the last year or so contained TV shows and music videos as well. So calling it a music store is increasingly inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And so Apple's really making a play for the wider digital media experience, music, video, and movies, full-length motion pictures.
Eric Hesseldahl from businessweek.com, my guest on WNYC as we talk about the Apple, HP, and Dell news. 212-433-WNYC and Graham in Long Island City are on WNYC. Hi, Graham.
Yeah, good morning. Actually, this conversation just raised a question which just popped in my mind. Is there any chance in the long term that Apple will get out of the computer business and just get into operating systems and start licensing their different operating systems for the iPod, for the Apple computers, a la, say, Microsoft, and not have to worry about margins on hardware, which you just discussed with Dell?
I really don't think that Apple would get out of hardware. Apple is at its core a computing company, but I got to say the iPod has really had a lot to do with resuscitating its financial health. Apple, when you take apart an Apple product and find out what the costs are on each of those components, you walk away with a 50% margin. And so that's a pretty profitable business. I can't see that going away anytime soon, especially with the fact that, you know, Apple outsources, like pretty much every other electronics company, outsources its production to low-cost manufacturers in China and Taiwan and elsewhere. So I can't imagine Apple getting out of the hardware business
anymore. Angie in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Angie.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
I actually just wrote an email to Dell this morning and to the Connecticut State Attorney General's office. I'm on my fourth Dell laptop within 2 years. The quality is horrible, and I guess I'm stupid for trying to be a loyal customer. They can pull me in every time and then screw me out of an efficient machine that I can depend upon. And my belief, because of all the experience I've had in the 20 to 40 hours in 1 month that I've spent on the phone with them on hold and being transferred around, they have a policy of hanging up on any customer who is unsatisfied. I believe that it is a policy of Dell.
So, Eric, is there any evidence of that? Have you heard this before? Do you think there are a lot of Angies in the world out there?
Well, Angie is clearly expressing some universal sentiment. I think everybody can tell who's got a computer can tell stories about difficulties with customer support. I've not been told of any policy of that nature, and I don't think Dell would address it publicly either. But it is clearly customer service problems are part of some of their wider problems that they're trying to address right now. So we'll have to see as perhaps Angie will get satisfaction as Dell makes changes.
We have about 30 seconds left. Gordon in Manhattan, quick question, quick answer.
Yes, my question is it possible for Apple to finally change the paradigm with air controllers, with national security, with personal ID, just in the way that they're doing iTunes and ITV and, just vertical and horizontal integration?
Interesting. 15 seconds, Eric.
I don't know that Apple has any interest in getting into defense contracting or national security or anything like that. They're a consumer company, and that's primarily where they play, and I can't see them leaving that space anytime soon.
Eric Hesseldahl, technology writer and columnist with BusinessWeek.com. Thanks so much for coming on
with us. Thank you.
You may have received the latest WNYC e-newsletter in your inbox yesterday afternoon, the one with the subject line that says, Brian Lehrer's Got Issues. What we have is this year's edition of 30 Issues in 30 Days, examining 30 issues relevant to the November elections, and we're inviting your input. That newsletter has a link where you can suggest topics for our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. We will read all of them and take them seriously, so check out that link on our e-newsletter if you got it, or if you prefer, just email your suggestions to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Please put the words 30 Issues in the subject line. Nilla McGovern produced today's program with Priya George, Lisa Allison, and Alicia Abbott. We had help today from Spencer Wilking. That's Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. Music provided by Soul Live. I'm Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.